Hey Podnuts, Corey here from Instant House Call. Whether you're a break fix tech who needs to provide remote support on demand without pre-installed software, or a managed service provider who wants to connect to unattended PCs anytime, Instant House Call makes remote support easy. I want to invite you to try Instant House Call free for yourself. Go to podnuts.com and click on the link in the show notes, then use the promo code PODNUTS. Instant House Call is the best remote support on earth. We can prove it. Try it free now and see for yourself.
Welcome to PODNUTS Daily, episode number 451, a show for computer repair techs by computer repair techs. I'm your host, Jeff Hallisch. I'm joined today by Don Jago from mytechgeeks.ca. Welcome to the show, Don.
Thanks. How are you doing?
I am doing excellent. It's good to have you here. And apparently you have a couple stories that you want to share with us today, something along the lines of communication, data recovery, and such.
Sure. Yeah. The first job, I was called out to an international pilot and pilot supplies and airplane parts supply company, basically a big hangar at the airport. I've done work for them a couple times before. General manager called and asked if I could come out quickly. Said he had two computers that weren't able to access the network out of about two dozen computers. And they thought maybe like a critter or something had chewed a couple of network cables. I get there and people are saying, oh, we definitely have those critters here, you know. Anyway, I pull out a network cable tester and pretty basic one, actually. When I got there, I was thinking, boy, I wish I had the Fluke right now.
Really? Yeah.
And yeah, sure. It would have been nice to have one of those nice Flukes. And because it's a big building, right? Anyway, I discover the four twisted pairs were intact, but both network cables that they were talking about for those two computers, both of them had a short in it. So I'm thinking, okay, this is pretty straightforward. We're going to have to run some cable. Unfortunately, these cables were at least 50, 60 feet up in the air running along steel beams in this huge building. And they had been done about 10 or 12 years ago by a friend of a friend, I was told. And, they were just tie wrapped and stuff and at the top running along the steel beam. And then from there, they were just hanging. And then there were big spools of, it seemed like about 50 extra feet of wire down where the computer was. And it was quite a mess.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. There were some labeling and stuff when I got to where the switch was. Wasn't really labeled very well at all, but there was some labeling as to where the desks were, and there was some indication as to what was going on, a little bit. Anyway, so it was a little bit helpful. So it didn't take me long to figure out which wires belonged to which, and so sure enough, like I say, there were short in both the wires, right? Anyway, so I let the manager know I was going to just run a test cable. And if he could let the workers know, there's about 15 people working there in part supply place, right? So there's people walking around, putting stuff in orders and stuff. And that I was just going to run a network cable in the ground just real quick, just to test to see if that solved the problem. And so I pulled out a 100-foot network test cable I use, and it would just reach like on a diagonal from the computer to the switch, and it was actually putting a bit of pressure on the wire, and I'm thinking, oh, I hope that doesn't, you know, it doesn't pull it back like a little bit, you know. Anyway, right. So I just got it in, and I go back and I restart the computer, and still limited access, and I'm like, oh. So I try the next computer, which was a little bit closer, and same thing, no joy. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, like, so I had asked them, are you having any other kind of network issues? Have you had other network issues? Everybody's like, no, both of these PCs were Windows XP. It's funny. They have Windows XP. They had some Windows 7. They had some Windows 8 computers there. And everything was DHCP. And they had like a major server, which I hadn't seen yet. Anyway, so the manager said, no network issues. And he's a super nice guy. I've talked to him. I've been there two or three times before doing some other work for them. But I had never been in the room or in this big area where they ship things, where the server happened to be, and the switch and all that. Anyway, so I'm talking to an employee saying, you guys aren't having any kind of network issues, or you haven't been having them over the last little while or whatever. And at first they're saying, no. And then somebody runs over and say, oh, my phone stopped working. What did you do? My phone stopped working. And I'm thinking, I didn't do anything. You know, like all I did was unplug two network cables, which I've plugged two network cables back in, right? And very carefully, I might add. And anyway, so I was calm and I just said, okay, well, let's just, you know, it was a VoIP system, right? So I said, okay, let's just unplug your phone, plug it back in. And it came back up and it worked, right? So that person was happy. And, you know, I'm talking to some other people in there and they said, yeah, actually, we have been having a lot of network issues lately, you know. And then all of a sudden, they have three other people run over and say their computers, they have no internet all of a sudden. And I'm thinking, it's nothing that I've done, right?
Right.
So I go and get the manager that had called me. And they said, so the employees have been telling me I've been having some network issues. And, you know, I told them about the phone and these three other computers and stuff. And I said, I think you got, you know, a larger problem other than you do have these two cables with shorts in them, you know, which should be changed, obviously, right? But it seems like you have some other issues going on here. And I asked them when the last time the server was restarted and stuff. And he said, oh, just a couple of days ago. He has to restart it when there's problems, right? So he's been restarting it quite often because there have been problems. So he brings me over to the server. And unfortunately, it's in the same shipping. It's like a great big shipping area, right? And it's just covered in dust. Like I can't even get to it. It's just, there's so much. I don't know how you get in there to turn it off. It's just awful, right? And I had seen some really dusty servers before, but this one was, you know, was the dustiest covered server I'd ever seen in my life. And I could barely make out what it was, but it was a Dell. And there was all kinds of extra stuff around it and stuff, like old computers sitting on top of it. And it was like a half server rack, but there was stuff just laying all over it and stuff. And wires all over the place. None of the wires there were labeled, and none of the wires going to the switch itself were labeled. Anyway, he said, okay, well, we'll just reboot it. And I said, well, maybe we should call your corporate, because it's a big company, right? They sell this aircraft supplies to pilots and for airplanes and stuff all across Canada and the United States. And it's a big company. And they do have their own IT. It's just when there's a network issue, like with cabling, they can't deal with it. They don't have people to just go and fix it, right? So that's why they called me. I said, maybe we should just call and let them know. And he's like, oh, no, he does this stuff all the time, right? So he holds a button in 4 seconds, powers it off, and waits a few seconds and pushes it back on. Nothing happens. We couldn't get it going, right? And it was no surprise to me because it was brutal, like how dusty this thing was.
Right.
Anyway, nothing. He tried for about 15, 20 minutes. I said, we better call, right? You know, before we do anything further, like, you know, before we unplug it and try doing different things, we should probably just give them the heads up, right? So we call and I'm talking to them for a couple of minutes and they're like, well, I think there's another old backup server there somewhere. See if you can find that, right? And they're like, I'm not sure what this corporate IT is like, but they were on the phone with me for like literally max 2 minutes and, you know, they want to get right off the phone, right? You know, like, I guess they're busy, right? Anyway, super nice, but on and off.
Right.
Here's the information you need. Go find the server and set it up with static IDs, right?
Jeez.
For now, right? So I do find the server. I talk to some people and I find this old, really old Dell server. And so I just basically, like he said, there was about, you know, 24 PCs in there in total. And I just, you know, set them up real quick with some static IPs, got them all up and running. But the strange thing was, is when I set them up on the static IPs, I see. Well, that's not the strange thing, but I see the manager over there with the shop vac sucking the dust out of the server instead of blowing it out. He's got these, you know, I'm just thinking of all the static electricity and stuff, you know, with the shop vac, and he's just going to town on it. Anyway, he's trying to get it going. But anyway, we got them all up pretty quick. You know, I was only there for less than 2 hours in total. But what was I going to say? The two computers that had the short in the wires, they worked when I set them up with a static IP address. Now they are on a 10/100 megabit per second network, which technically only uses four wires, right?
Right.
So to transmit data, anyway. So I'm guessing those four wires that were transmitting data were fine. You know, I mean, the tool I was using didn't show me where the short was,
right,
how far away it was, what wires were shorted. It just showed me, you know, the data was being transmitted, and or basically it showed me that eight wires were good from one end to the other, basically, and but there was a short as well, right?
Okay.
Bizarre, you know. And I just, I mean, they didn't want the wiring fixed because they're moving to like a brand new location in less than a year. They had already told me about that, and they want me to put a quote in when they do that.
Okay.
I just find it bizarre when, you know, it seems like such a large company. He's telling me how much some of these parts cost. You know, like a little part that a hard drive might come in for me that arrives, like just one hard drive, just this little box, you know, easily $20,000-$30,000 for this little airplane part. Like, he's telling me it's insane how much these parts cost. So there must be so much markup on that stuff, I would think, right? So I'm assuming they're doing really well financially, but it just seems bizarre that you don't have more backup plans in place and more redundancy, right?
Yeah. And I think that's too why I think that I listen to a lot of companies and a lot of businesses that support different businesses out there. And there are companies, businesses like ours out there that will go and they will bend over backwards for these companies because everything is an emergency. And I've seen a lot of these setups and I basically walk in these situations now and I go, there ain't no emergency. We'll get it done when we get it done. And right. I didn't set it up. It's not my mess. So we'll do what we can do. We're going to fix the problem, but we're going to do it at a pace that we can get to the end result. And I think a lot of people are like, they'll beat their heads against the wall and, oh, we got to get this done. And this is so important. We got to land this deal. And it's like, why?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they were lucky. Well, I mean, it was good for me that I was available at the time too, but I mean, I've actually had a pretty busy week. Sometimes when someone calls like that, like I can't even respond to them for hours and hours to let them know that I can't get there till tomorrow. But it just so happened I was able to go right out. And I know a lot of businesses will charge more for like the same day or, and I didn't have, I don't have them on any kind of a maintenance plan or anything like that, but it was just lucky for both of us. Yes, I was available to go right out. But he just sent me this email, big thank you email like he had before on a couple other occasions when, I got things working. I remember one other time there was a problem with his email and he couldn't get it working and I had to get their mail working and different things. But, I'm just surprised or amazed that some of these companies seem to be doing so well, like on the sales front, but on the back end, they could have such a catastrophic failure and they don't seem to be really prepared for it,
Yeah, they're not prepared for it. And when it happens, that's when everything just goes, oh my gosh, now what are we going to do?
Right.
And I kind of look back at them and I go, well, there's always paper and pen.
we can
go back old school. You can still take orders. Just do it like they used to do when men were men and ships were made of wood. And you'll be fine.
Yeah.
But I don't think that, and it's probably from the worker's standpoint, don't really understand how important that stuff is until it's not working. Everybody thinks that electronics and computers and things will work till the end of time. Now, let me ask you a quick question, Don.
Sure.
What did you do to set up the static IPs? And did you set up the static IPs for every device, every computer workstation that was there?
Yes, for every computer, but not for their phones. So when I talked to IT, I literally was on the phone for 2 or 3 minutes. And it was like, he was talking so fast, I could just barely comprehend him, right? So I said, then, are you going to be on the phone with me? He's like, no, I'll just do it, whatever. And I'm thinking, should I call you back? He said, no, it's good. Type of thing, right? It was amazing, right? Like I know the manager doesn't like calling IT because they're so short with them, and he said he doesn't get it, right?
Sure.
But IT, in fairness to them, they basically told me that the phones they looked at their map or whatever they had at corporate, and they saw that everything, like initially he was telling me to set them up at what was it, the range from about 30 to 80 I could use, but then eventually he turned around and said, no, don't do that. Start them at 50 to 99, So I started at 51 actually.
Okay.
And then went up from there, But, it was, simple, right? It was pretty simple to do, but,
now was
luckily
that
they had that other server there.
And that was, so they were using a server for their DHCP.
That's correct.
And that was what was giving the addresses out.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So no type of router or anything like that. So what kind of server? What you said it was a Dell server?
It was a Dell, yeah.
Okay.
I think it was an Edge Dell. What do they call it? Edge?
I think that's one of the.
Yeah, something like that. I couldn't see. I could just make out some hieroglyph. I can't even say it. Through the dust,
Gotcha. Yeah. So the interface on that was pretty easy to get in there and just do what you needed to do.
Oh, okay. Absolutely. All yeah. Right. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. So yeah, that's, I don't know what we can do to get these people. And obviously if they have an IT department, they're probably only given such a budget that they're like, well, can't do it. So not going to worry about it. If something blows up, we'll take care of it.
Because like I say, they're like super fast on the phone, like on and off. And I remember the time when they had a problem with their mail before too. It was the same thing. Like maybe 1 minute of conversation on the phone call and he's gone. But I do know a lot of places where corporate IT, they're severely understaffed, right? And there's phone calls just waiting in queue, right? And I'd hate to be that person that has to, you know, has to cut people short just because you don't have the time.
Right.
You know. So like from there, I have another story where I spent some time this week in kind of the same type of situation where major business in town, and I've done work for them 4 or 5 times at least before. Like I've recovered data for them. I've done all, you name it. I've done all kinds of things for them. This one, I got an email from a local printing business, and it's a big business in town. And I supported a lot of the local printing businesses, probably most of them. I just thought it was bizarre because, one of their main plate printers devices was down, and things are as big as like a small car, you know, type of thing. And I'm sure they cost as much as like a new Mercedes or something. You know?
Right.
They're not cheap. And, basically holds up all their production, you know, like they can't print, you know, it's, they had 2 of these devices that were down, and, I got an email, and sometimes I'm not even able to check my email until the end of the day. Like, you know, often I'm quite good and I'll get back to someone within the hour. But sometimes I think I've had people angry with me because I couldn't get back to them until that evening. And then I would reply back and saying, I've been busy all day. I'm just getting to my email now. I generally look at emails like a 24-hour turnaround, you know, myself.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
You know, if it's a phone call or a text, that's a little different. So I get an email, and that's what I thought was a little strange because, you know, they're down. And, so I noticed about an hour and a half after the email, I actually just got back to the shop, and just started to get cozy. It was just before lunch, and I was just about to have lunch, and I see this email, and I'm like, oh, you know, so I call, and I head right up because it's an emergency in my mind. And maybe they say that because they think they don't want to have to pay more possibly. I'm not sure what the deal is, but anyway, so I get there and the email basically said they had an error, one of their PCs that were preventing them from printing on these plate machines. And I'm thinking, well, that's interesting, you know, because what do I know about these plate machines? It's a company called PressTech. I think it's one of the biggest companies out there, at least one of the highest regarded printing supplier companies for this type of thing. And I looked on their website and I saw one of these devices for like $80,000 US, you know, like just one, right? Yeah. Anyway, so I got on the site within a couple of hours of the email, and the error was on an old Dell PC running Windows XP. It looked like it was probably one of the first ones you'd see with a SATA drive in it, you know, quite old. And sitting there with an inch of dust on it in the corner, and nobody had touched it, I don't think, for years. And basically the way it works is they have a number of graphic artists, and the graphic artists print from their iMacs in InDesign, and it goes to this PressTech software, which is on this Dell, and it's just shared, right? So they print to the Dell basically through this PressTech software, and they were getting an error when they were printing to this software. And when I first looked at it, I could tell right away it wasn't a system error. It was an error within this proprietary PressTech software. And I'm thinking, okay, this is a problem, right?
Right.
And so I asked them if they've restarted the computer. And they said, oh, yeah. I said, today? And they're like, yeah, yeah. And, you know, like I'm going through about 2 inches of dust to get to the power button to turn it off, right? So I asked them if I could power it off and on myself. And they said, sure, no problem. So I turn it off and turn it on. And when I turn it on, nobody knows the password, the admin password. So that's kind of a sign to me that it wasn't turned off. Anyway, so eventually I said, I can easily clear this. It's Windows XP, right? So,
oh yeah.
Anyway, yeah. We get around the password, and I asked them if this was backed up or anything, and they said, no. I'm looking over at, on the desk, and I see this box. It's like an external lessee dual hard drive type of thing, right?
Okay.
And it was still in the same box. They had me do data recovery. It got knocked off a desk for them by them months and months ago. And it's still in the same – and I'm thinking, that looks like it's still the same way I returned it to them. Sure enough, so they stopped doing their backups when it got knocked off the desk.
Oh.
And they didn't buy any new equipment, because I said to them when I returned it, I said, I've recovered the data for you. It was in a little mini RAID array, right?
Sure.
Two drives. And one of them was clicking. The other one that was able to repair it, you know, get the data through software, right? Anyway, I said, I can't put this back together. You won't be able to use this. And the other one that's still working is not reliable. So I didn't even put it back in the case so they could use it, because it's not reliable. If it get knocked off the desk, you don't use that in a business setting, right?
Sure.
You know? So sure enough, it's still in the box. I opened the lid, and it's just the way I returned it. No backups done since, you know, for months, right? So I'm thinking, okay, that's nice. So I test the hard drive and the computer with Crystal Disk Info. Bad hard drive. There's two hard drives in it. The system drive was good, but the secondary hard drive that had this Prestek software was bad, you know, red. And I'm thinking, okay, great. So I asked the manager, do you have the CD to reinstall this Prestek software? And they look for an hour, maybe an hour and a half, right? No, don't have it.
Oh,
is there? And meanwhile, I'm looking on the website to see if we can download it. I call the website. I call the company. It was something that was manufactured in 2006. And they were saying to me, well, the vendor or whatever they were saying, like the company should have the software. It was provided with the machine. I said, well, this is 2006. You know, surely it's on your website somewhere that I can download. No, not available. I think the solution is that reading between the lines was just update your equipment. You know, God knows what the cost and how long would it take to get that equipment there and set up, you know? Anyway, just a nightmare. So I said to the company that, you know, I can take this computer. I can try to clone the drive and do what I can with it, bring it back and do my best to get the software working, but it's certainly a long shot, right? They said, okay, bring it back in the morning, do what you can, you know. And meanwhile, nothing's being printed from these plate machines.
Wow.
And I'm just thinking, this is incredible, because I from what I'm reading and from what I'm seeing in there is they're already far behind, because And I feel for these companies, because I'm sure more and more of this stuff is being offshored, and I'm sure the margins are pretty tight on printing and stuff. There's so much competition and stuff, right? And I feel for them, but at the same time, boy, you really need to have some sort of disaster recovery plan and be backing this stuff up. You know, I think that's the big failure in companies where they no longer have any kind of on-site IT, or nobody looking after this, nobody there to inspect it and say, we need to back this stuff up, right? Like, what are you going to do when all of this fails, right? And it's pretty severe. Anyway, so I walk in the morning, and luckily the drive cloned over for me. Kangaroo hard drive cloner, I love that thing. Worked flawlessly, cloned it over. The software actually started up at the shop here. When I started it up, it actually started up without the error. I'm thinking, that's amazing, right? And I'm thinking, when it gets hooked up, is it going to give me the error again? Because there's two network cards in, and God knows what's going on from this computer to this other computer. Because the information goes to this computer that I had, and then from the other computer, you access this software to print to the plate machine. You know, so it's like, you know, and everyone's looking at you like you're an expert on this stuff. It's the first time you've seen it. And I'm sure,
right.
I'm sure everybody listening out there has gone through this same thing where you're walking in and you're in a dentist office or something, and this Dentrix software, they expect you to know how to fix this error in it, like, you know, or whatever. Right. Anyway. So I get in there and, we set it up, and, the first two jobs print, and the manager says, oh, I could hug you right now. And I said, actually, I get that a lot, actually. And she said, I bet you do. Anyway, the third time we had got the error back. And do you think we could clear that error the third time? Nothing. We spent hours and hours and hours. I tried system restore. I tried anything I could possibly do all through the software. So I kept recommending the manager, you know, you're wasting. I think we're wasting time. I think we should call PressTech and see what they can do. I mean, they're the experts on the software, not me, right? You know, surely we could maybe get them to log into the computer and see what they can do with it, right? You know, there's got to be some way to get the software installed on here again,
right?
Or get it working, right? You know, I mean, there was obviously corruption on the other drive, right? And it's causing problems. Anyway, so eventually I talked to, I called PressTech, and seems like they're nice people. Like I spoke with someone in Canada. He was driving in his car, and what happened? Oh, he said, I'm driving my car right now. I'm going to be in the office an hour. I'll have someone call you back. I said, okay. So it's a bit of a crisis here, but he said, okay. Yeah. You know, an hour. That's pretty good. Like it's the best he could do. Right. And it's okay. So I sit there for the hour. I keep fooling around with it. You know, an hour goes by, hour and a half, you know, nothing. I'm on the phone shortly after an hour, maybe an hour and a half. And, I call back in, and this time I just get a recording. Right. So I leave the message, I call back and I get somebody, and I let them know what happened, and I gave them the gentleman's name I was speaking with. He was nice to me and everything, right? And, you know, he can't predict how busy everybody is, and it's not like this company was on some sort of a plan with the company, right?
Right.
I understand that. You know, hopefully we get a call back saying, sorry, you know, we can't talk to you right now, we're busy or whatever, but and they didn't. But anyway, so this next person I'm speaking with says, okay, I'm going to escalate to this person's manager. And if you don't get a call back within the hour, give us a call back. So I'm there another hour fooling around with this stuff, and no call back. So an hour and a minute, I call back again, and they say, oh, well, we've already escalated as high as we possibly can. I'll escalate it again to the same manager. And nothing. You know, I don't know, several more hours go by, nothing, you know. What happened? They closed up for the day. We called back in. Oh, I know what it was. We closed up for the day, and I got a phone call around 10. No, I got a phone call around 9 in the morning, the next morning, saying they were setting a call up for 10:30. I said, great. So I drive up there, and sure enough, they're on the ball. They're, you know, they called us right at 10:30, and person was very helpful and all that kind of stuff. And I had to use my little USB Wi-Fi device that I carry around with me to get this computer on Wi-Fi, because you think we could get this thing hooked on the internet. It just wouldn't happen.
Wow.
Anyway,
okay.
So I just put a little USB dongle in there. I got it hooked up on Wi-Fi, and it was nice and fast. It was pulling in about 15 megabits per second down. And I go to download the software from this company, and it's actually Instant House Call. And I'm thinking, that's great. So I download the software, and as soon as I download it to run it, it crashes the computer. I tried like 5 times. I use it in my business. I've never had a problem, right? And so I go to my website, and as soon as I download the software, it crashes the computer again too. I tried it from my website. And I'm thinking, what the heck? And it was a really old computer, right?
Right.
I don't know what the deal was. You know, I'm sure it's nothing with the software, but just another thing, another setback, you know. So I download TeamViewer, and what do you know? It installs, right? So I call them back up and say, can we connect? I don't know if you're allowed to do this, but can we please connect through TeamViewer? Here's my username and password. Here's my number and password, right? Then they were good enough to do that, right? So anyway, they log in. They're moving the cursor around. They're doing everything they can possibly do. And they're like, we have no idea. It should be printing. You know, it's obviously some sort of corruption in the software.
Really? Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Yeah. So they gave up after a while. He said there's nothing really, they can't think of anything else they can do with it, you know. So I stayed there fooling around with it. I reset the, you know, their network switch, thinking, is there some sort of a network problem between the computers or whatever? And, you know, after I reset their switch, which controlled everything, and then I uninstalled the printer the 100th time, and so I could reinstall the printer. I just didn't have the proprietary software, right? So I uninstalled the printer again. And installed it on all their iMacs and reinstalled it on all their iMacs. And doesn't the thing just start working? You know, go figure. I don't know what caused it to start working. But then the company called back apparently the following day several times just to make sure it was continued to work or whatever. Because apparently they buy a lot of stuff from this company, even though they're not on a plan. You know, and I'm kind of the same way. Like if I have a good customer, I'll try to go out to them as quickly as I possibly can, even if they're not on some sort of a you know, a maintenance plan with me.
Right.
But anyway, it started working. But the moral of the story here is you need some sort of disaster recovery plan in place. Like you need to have this stuff backed up. I'm saying to the manager there, I said, do you have these IMAX backed up? Well, we use, Backblaze, you know, and I'm like, well, yeah, so that's backing up your data. It's not backing up everything. It's not backing up your operating system files, you know, because I know because I'm a reseller of it, right?
Right.
And when I'm talking to the manager there, the people that are doing the graphic design work are saying, oh, we can't. I said, well, we could even use Time Machine. We could use Super Duper. You know, there's all kinds of options for these Macs. And they're like, oh, it'll slow down our computer. And I'm, well, we could use Super Duper and set it up on a schedule, or we could use Time Machine. It could just be turned on when you leave work for the day. But I said, even once a month is better than nothing at all, right?
Right.
Because you want to get up back and running quickly, right? You know, especially in some of these new iMacs that they have there. Like they have a mix of some older ones and some newer ones. But these newer ones, you know, it's not like I can just easily pop the drive out of that thing, you know, like quickly, you know. Anyway, if something goes wrong, you know, or, if, you know, anyway, the bottom line is I'm going back in there tomorrow morning with two more of their, I picked up the two computers that control these plate machines. So I've had them over the weekend and I've cloned two more additional drives for them. You know, I've actually put them onto solid state hard drives and I'm keeping their initial hard drives as a spare. You know, we're going to keep those in case something happens so we can pop them right back in and get them running again. But boy, I don't know. I just find the companies, I don't know, again, I don't know if it's a financial reasons or it's just that they don't have the, you know, the technical expertise of a technical person saying, you know, we need plans in place, you know, for disaster recovery. But yeah, they were down, you know, for probably a day and a half, 2 days. I just can't imagine how backed up they were, you know, because this is a huge business. And yeah, hopefully you don't lose customers over it, but you know, you got to be losing some, you know, some money, and it's got to hurt your reputation.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of nobody really in these companies. I don't think anybody sets a soft cost for doing any type of IT support or replacing things over time. In other words, they bought that server and operating software for those machines back in 2006.
Right.
And it was probably supported until maybe 2010. Support probably went out the window.
Yep.
And they came out with their newest, latest, greatest that you're going to have to pay another whatever it was, $5,000, $6,000, $10,000, $20,000. And these companies just go, well, what we have is working. We're not going to replace it right now. But what they don't realize is if it goes down to a point where, I mean, you were a miracle worker to come in there and do all the things that you did to get it back up and running. Because a lot of people would have looked at it and said, I don't know what to tell you.
I got to tell you, I was ready to quit. But I was just thinking to myself, like, you know, I'm feeling for the company. You know, like I'm sure we all do. Like I'm there thinking, what is going to happen to the, you know, what are they going to do? Like, are they going to have to spend like a couple hundred grand and buy like these new plate machines? And,
right.
And is it going to take 2 weeks for them to get here and get set up or what? You know, it's just crazy, right? You know, it's absolutely just crazy. But I'm sure, you know, this is two businesses and there's got to be, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of them out there that going through this exact same thing and maybe have absolutely no idea that this could happen to them any time.
Well, and that's part of what we do is to educate the customer. The problem that I'm finding is a lot of times the customer nods their head and goes, yeah, that's a good idea. But when you start to talk about costs, it's like, eh.
Right.
So I think we really need to build plans out with them where you go, you don't do everything at once. You come in, you go, man, your stuff is really messed up.
Yeah.
We're going to take the next year and start taking this stuff a little bit at a time. You're spending a monthly budget to get this back up and running to a point where you don't have to worry, you have to worry about it less. And that's really what it comes down to. But if you don't know how to walk somebody through that, again, a lot of times I think in our cultures, it's easier for the, we always look for the low monthly payment. We're buying something or whatever. And that's just kind of how we live, paycheck to paycheck, month to month. And we don't really think about that long term. Yeah, we were down for a day and a half. I think it, in the back of their minds, they're probably thinking, well, we'll make that up in the next month or whatever. And it's like, in my opinion, it's not a great way to run business, but that's the way a lot of businesses run. And that's why I kind of shrug my shoulders when they go, hey, we got an emergency. All right, well, we'll see what we can do.
Yeah. See, before they've had problems with, like I say, they, I pick up their hard drives and they need the data recovered off them. And I leave them at the front desk. I'm not going out back. That's the first time I've actually been out back with these plate machines and so far.
Okay.
Another time there was a problem with their QuickBooks. They needed that fixed. And there's little things like that, right? But so I'm definitely going to be going in when I return these Monday morning, get them set up. I'm definitely going to be going in and talking again that these iMacs need to be backed up, blah, 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 all these different things. But that's a good idea. We could schedule. I never even thought about doing on some long-term planning or something. I hadn't even thought of that, but because I'm just seeing it, to me, it's a crisis, like this stuff, buy a $60 or $70 drive for now and back them up through Time Machine,
Right.
Initially, right.
Get something going. The problem I have with a lot of backup systems, and it's gotten better over time with cloud and some of the local backups you can do on the machine, which I think is the least you need to do. Back in the day with the tape drives and stuff, they basically were at a point where somebody's basically having to switch those out. And again, nobody wanted to pay IT exterior support anywhere to basically make sure that those things were actually working. How many stories have we heard where people had, they would go in to look at the tape drive and see the cleaning tape in there and it's been in there for the last 6 months.
Yeah.
It's like, come on. But that's because they're not willing to pay that little bit of money for somebody to maintain their stuff. They're kind of hosed when it comes back to, and the problem is, I think the biggest problem is a lot of us can actually pull their butts out of the fire and we save them by the skin of their teeth. So they kind of wipe their brow and go, yeah, whew, we made it through again. But the reality is, it's almost like a disservice. Yeah, we did a great job, but really, let me tell you, this could happen again. And we could be at a point where I can't get any of your stuff back. So here's some of the things we need to put in place. And let's do this over a long-term plan. That way we're doing regular work on a regular basis. It creates revenue for you, but it also is getting them where they need to be, where they're not having to plop down $2,000, $3,000, $5,000, $10,000 all at one time. They can eke it out over the year and go, and then finally get to a point where it's okay, here's the maintenance to maintain the things we put in place now. You should be good to go. And you're not going to have these emergencies where your heart drops out of your chest in your stomach.
Yeah. When I was there, I was talking about cryptovirus and saying, what would you do if, everything was locked and you had no access to any of your data? Yeah. What would you do? Right. And she didn't have an answer. Right. I mean, but I don't think it's really something they've ever really thought of before. They just expect it's going to work.
Well, and not to put anybody down at those levels of the company, but those are basically the minions, right? So,
I understand.
To them, it's like they don't know one way or the other. They know what the company tells them and what they do on a regular basis. But the reality is they need us to explain it so they can explain it to somebody else so that somebody will actually take action on what's going on.
Right.
And somebody is printing stuff in my office. It's awesome.
That's the best.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. One time I was at a business and I got called in because their computer wouldn't start up in the morning for their their starting up. It was a restaurant, right? And they're trying to get things going in the morning and they couldn't get things going. And I get there and I said to the person right away, I said, looks like it's your power supply. He said, no, I think it's the button. And I said, the likelihood of it being the start button is very low, right? So I said, we can unhook this, this cable here, and we can just short these two pins out with the screwdriver, and we'll know if it's the button or not, right? And he's looking at me like I have three heads. So right. I do it and no difference, right? And he's telling me that what he normally does is he has to press it and wait like a minute and 30 seconds or something before the light first starts to come on after he presses the start button.
Ugh.
So he's literally on his knees praying. I'm not joking. He's on his knees praying that it's going to start in front of me. You know? And I'm like, wow. Right. So I replace the power supply and it starts right up.
Right.
But wow. You know, like, you know, they really rely, like, people really rely on these computers for their business. But, you know, I don't know. It's just they don't want to spend the money until it's just disaster time. You know,
it's funny. I was in my dentist's office the other day. I was getting my teeth cleaned. So I'm coming out, making my next appointment, and there's a HP, I think it was HP computer sitting on a desktop, and she's typing in stuff in there, and I'm listening to this fan, and it's like, loud. It's like, I'm like, holy cow. I said, wow, that sounds like the bearings are gone in that fan in that power supply. She's like, well, that's how the other company sold it to us, and they said if we ever have a problem, they'll replace it for free.
Yeah.
I'm like, why in the world would you even, okay, we'll wait until there's a problem, then we'll replace it.
Yeah.
I said, well, I don't really want to, I'm not here to badmouth anybody, but I said, I wouldn't have sold you something like that. She's like, oh, you do computer repair. And I'm like, yeah. I said, I'll give you a couple of my cards. If that doesn't work out for you, let me know. But you know what it comes down to? You kind of look around the office, right? And you can really tell what they spend a lot of their money on. Like when I was in there, a couple of their drills the teeth cleaning thing that they use for grinding on your teeth with all that gritty stuff, it wasn't working. So it was out for service. It was going to come back. Yeah. I'm like, seriously, I come in here every 6 months. And on this particular day that you set up an appointment, you clean my teeth, but you can't glaze them or whatever they do to them.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like, and you look around at the floor and the walls and you're like, you know, I guess the equipment itself is maintained. Oh, the other thing was too, that the chair, because she had to move to a different room because something was going on with the room she normally uses. She had trouble getting this chair to go up and down. So I'm like sitting there waiting and the chair's going back. And it's just, I'm like, okay, it's just, people don't want to spend a whole lot of money. And I get it. I mean, they're doing a lot of these jobs and there's low margin in them and they're just doing what they can do to get that bottom line, to get those paychecks coming in. So I get it. I just wish there was a better way, especially when it does seem like there's a lot of money in these businesses.
Yeah. And I'm sure they charge these dental offices a mint for anything, you know, I'm sure they charge them a fortune for anything.
Well, but,
I have one dentist that, it's funny because anytime I go there, I've seen him put his arm or his hand, I guess his hand under the arm support where, you know, someone would lean on before they get up into the chair.
Yeah.
And it's really old, you know, like, I don't know how old his chair is, but he's always I see him like when someone else is getting out or whatever, you know, and I see him putting his hand under there to support it so it doesn't snap off, you know, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
So it's unfortunate. What happened was their old computer basically died. Fortunately, they did have some sort of backup with their dental software in the cloud, which obviously they didn't know what that was, but they just said, yeah, he had to pull the information down from the cloud and get it back in there. But yeah, I would have went into a situation like that. I wouldn't have known how everything was set up and how that dental software and stuff works.
Right.
I mean, everything, it's basically a piece of software on a workstation that's hooked up to a database, either on the cloud or on that computer or another computer on the network. It's not rocket science.
Right.
But you still, each one of them are a little bit different. And you have to figure out where everything's at.
Yeah. I look at it like it's our job to get the computer in there, get the computer running, get it networked and, you know, be the hands, you know, of the person, you know, if they have proprietary software, you know, they can talk us through whatever they need to talk us through and we'll do whatever they tell us to do. But we shouldn't have to figure it out, you know, in my opinion, right? Like it should be the, you know, the professionals, the experts in that field that are doing figuring out what the issue is with their proprietary software, you know?
And I will tell you, if you do get into a niche like that, where you're doing things in the dental field or in whatever, the maintenance field of some sort or whatever, if you were to learn their software and be able to support them solely, I mean, you could make a lot of money doing that by niching down and saying, this is my field. or is the, I hate these terms, but the vertical that you get into and you concentrate on that. But the reality is, I remember supporting different databases, whether it be QuickBooks, Peachtree, for all their accounting, invoicing, and whatnot. And I didn't know those systems. And I would, I required these companies to buy the service contract so that I could call somebody and go, hey, here's what's going on. Cause I can't, I'm past the point of being able to figure it out. Cause you know your software better than I do.
Right.
I had, it's funny with some of the things that we do. You were talking before about how that person was saying it was a power switch. And I'm getting to the point, I bite my tongue, I'm as nice as possible. But there's a lot of times where the customer will tell you what they think is wrong or how easy it will be to fix. I'm thinking, well, if it's so easy to fix, why didn't you do it yourself?
Right.
You're bringing it to me because you have no clue. So don't tell me my job. I had a person bring me a computer and basically what they had done was they upgraded to Windows 10. And when they upgraded to Windows 10, something had happened with some of the software on their machine. Some things weren't working right. So they went to do a refresh of the system. And that really hosed things where they couldn't open up pictures and different things like that. So I worked on it for a little bit and tried to get it back to a working standpoint. And it was going to take so much more time to manually go through and fix the registry. I said, forget it. I said, it's just not worth it. I said, I called the customer up because they thought they could get it back in the same day. I'm like, yeah, not likely. I said, I don't work on Sundays, number one. And you're probably not getting it back today. The earliest you'll probably see it is Monday. Because I want to make sure that everything's working right and done right on that machine. And one of the things that I said, I called them and I said, well, I said, what we really need to do is we need to back up all your data off of here. And I need to know what types of software and different things that you had on here so I can get it back on there to the best of my ability. And we talked about a couple of things that he had on there that was different. Like he had this program called Neat that basically he could take his receipts and put it in for his business and it would capture a photocopy of that and store it.
Yep.
I'm like, no problem. I said, I see the database and stuff. I'm going to back all that stuff up anyways. But I need to know what things you really need. And I'm going to back all this stuff up. I reinstalled Windows 10 as a fresh install instead of doing an upgrade. Put all his data back. Got Office working. I went and found the key for that. An interesting thing that I came across was, I was using D7.2, which is a great tool, by the way. And I was doing, because I needed to capture the product key. Now what it uses is Prodigy, which is fine. Now what it does is it is actually pulled two different keys. There's like a generic OEM key for that particular ISO, and there's another key. So and I can't really explain how it does it, but there's the two keys that you have to make sure that you capture when you're capturing that key in case you need to put it in. Now I will tell you, when I went to put a fresh install on this system, no problems whatsoever. Microsoft recognized it right away. And what was interesting was it said Windows is activated. And then underneath that, it said something about activation for this particular computer in the cloud. I can't remember exactly what it said. It was a real long sentence that basically was saying that it was backed up from the information it had already stored from that particular machine, which I found very interesting. So they kind of took a catalog of that machine. But my point is, I've never had such an easy time of doing Windows 10 fresh installs on machines that were upgraded. And as long as they activated, I've had no issues.
Yeah, it's great.
And not only that, what's really nice, even using an ISO from July when it came out, it takes down all the updates. There's very little updates you have to do. It's very, very quick.
Yep.
So
I picked up a laptop just a few days ago, the person had dropped it, and they actually said, "You just want it? You can just have it." You know, the same person gave me an iMac; it just needed a hard drive. You know,
wow!
Okay. But they didn't want to deal with it, right?
Sure.
And it was not a bad laptop; had 6 gigs of RAM in it, fairly modern. And I said, "Well, I'd be happy to take it, but would you just want me to put a hard drive in it and see if I can install Windows on it for you? You know, it's not going to cost that much." So she said, "Sure." So same thing, like I'm thinking, should I use my, I wasn't 100% sure if it was going to work because, you know, I apparently sometimes it captures the key, I guess, in the BIOS, right? But since the hard drive was completely dead, it was just clicking, right? I wasn't 100% certain if it was going to work or not. But sure enough, yeah, I just popped. It was Windows 8, Windows 8.1, I think. And I popped a Windows 8.1 CD in there, installed it, and activated right away. I'm like, how easy is that?
Don, did you just say CD?
Yeah, I did. I did put a CD in. Yeah, you know why? It's because I do have some downloaded, but I think I can't remember if it was a Pro or what it was, but it was something I didn't have on a USB stick.
Ah, I got you.
Yeah.
No, but I laugh because I actually have both. I still keep the CDs, and some there are some times I have to use them. But I once I really started using USB keys, I actually bought a bunch of them, and they were just little 8 gigabytes. In little keys, there's no caps or anything on them. I can't remember the name of them, but they can fit on a key ring. And so basically, I bought a pack of 10 of those. Yeah. And so I've got every operating system ISO on each one of those so I can grab them. And they're all USB 3.0. They're waterproof, which is cool. And I was just like, it's so fast to do it from a USB key. I'm just like going, whenever I have to do it from a CD, I can't believe how slow it is.
It is slow. And you know, I looked in my, I looked what I had, and I looked online at Microsoft's tool for creating them, and I know what it was. It was just 8. It wasn't 8.1. And they have a recovery product key thing or recovery maker for 8.1, but I didn't see one for 8, whatever this was. I can't remember if it was Pro or whatever it was. But I know there's something on Technimble, but I had already promised the person if I could get it going, I'd have it for you in the morning, and I already had a lot of work going, right?
So gotcha.
I bought the CDN. But while we're on the topic, Microsoft should be ashamed of themselves. And I hope there's somebody listening from Microsoft. these CDs that you buy, these OEM CDs, with Windows on. So I'm looking at one here that's Windows 8 or Windows 8.1. And, you know, I have 20/20 vision still, and I can barely see the product keys. They've gotten so small that I almost need to take a picture with my phone and zoom in. And not to mention, it's so small, but they also have like a pattern behind it, like a dark blue pattern, and the black letters are on the dark blue pattern.
Yeah,
it's almost impossible. And they're mixing the 8s and the B's and the Q's and the O's and the 0s, whatever. It's unbelievable. And, you know, it's just so small. And I'm thinking in time, if something were to happen, there's a good chance you're not going to read this, but hopefully... Actually, you know what? These wouldn't be captured in your BIOS probably. I don't know. I don't know how it works when we install it, you know, if it's not coming from the manufacturer. But, I mean, in time, if this got a little bit of a scrape or just in time, it's going to wear. You know, it's just because it's almost impossible to read right now. So if there's not a record of it kept, I wonder if that's just going to be lost in time.
I wonder because a lot of the Windows reinstalls I've had to do when it comes to Windows 8 and up has been – a lot of people did the upgrades, or when they would buy it, they would actually buy the download. So as long as I can get to their Microsoft site, I can get the product key and I can download the software right from there, which is, I still go to the Windows 10 Office or Windows 2010 Office download link. And basically I'll put if somebody has Windows 10 in there, I'll capture the key, put the key in there. It gives me the right software. I have all the software, but sometimes it's just easier to go to that website and make sure that I'm putting the right one in, because I've done it before where I've grabbed the wrong one by accident, loaded it up, went to put the key in, it wouldn't activate. And it's such a pain to go back and have to do that again. And Office 2010 loads really, really slow for some reason. It takes forever, and the updates are ridiculous.
I found that too. Yeah. I just don't know what the need is for going so small on these, you know, on these product keys or the product codes. Because, I mean, Windows 7, they used to be so much larger, you know, and it's just almost impossible to read these.
Well, I had to buy a magnifying glass with a light on it because when I would get the serial numbers off underneath the battery on a laptop, which is still mostly what I get anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Those numbers for the serial numbers and the model number, they're so small, I can't read them. And I'm like, so I use a magnifying glass so I can get the information, put it in my software and catalog it and go from there. But yeah, it is ridiculously small.
You know, you're getting old when.
Yeah, I know. And I wear glasses with bifocals, which is what really blows my mind. It's like, seriously?
Yeah, I haven't had to wear them yet, but I do have a magnifying glass too if I need it. I sent you a few tools. I don't know if we want to mention them quickly.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's talk about the first one, a lot of people probably have used this already. The only reason I'm mentioning it is because I had a laptop in the other day that was overheating. It had a lot of viruses and malware on it. Once I removed that, temperature probably come down automatically anyway. But speed fan, it's going to be the show the links below for the show notes. It works on almost every computer I've ever run it across, and it can access digital temperature sensors for most computers, if not almost all. And it can change your fan speeds accordingly. And so you can use it to reduce the noise of the fans if you choose to. I mean, I wouldn't recommend that unless it's your own. But in my case, in this case, you know, I use it to speed them up a little bit. You can set the temperatures to basically whatever you want. It'll tell you the temperature of your hard drive and the fans in the computer as well. And anyway, it's just fantastic. I love it. And it's free. I think he has a donate button on his website. Another program which may or may not work. I mean, it may work for now. It may stop working down the road. Is called GWX control panel. If you're getting that annoying Windows 10 pop-up saying upgrade now, and you've made the decision you're not upgrading on your main production computer, or if you're getting calls from your customers, I know nothing's perfect. He used to have a program called GWX. It was something else. It wasn't called GWX control panel. But this one here runs in the background all the time, and it's been pretty good at stopping Windows 10 from you know, popping up all the time. Now, apparently, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, now, when I had mine popping up, it would actually pop up the – I would get the pop-up on a restart or reboot on the system. It wouldn't pop up at any other time for me.
I seem to get them different times. Yeah, because I had this computer on just before I got on the show. And I hadn't been on it for quite some time, but maybe it was sitting there for quite a while since I've turned it on. I'm not sure, but it was there, and it seems like I get them unless I've rebooted. I'm not sure. Maybe it is more when they start, but annoying.
Here, you know? Yeah, here's what I tell people, though. It's just like the pop-ups that they get with the malware that they install themselves. I just say, just like you do with the pop-ups, when those pop up, you just all you do is hit the X and close them down. Just do the same thing with Windows 10 because you're used to doing it anyways.
But just think how many customers actually click on the ad and install whatever they're, you know, it happens all the time, right? Because I'm hearing all the time from these customers that, oh, you know, it just installed itself. And I don't know if there's any truth to it or not. There may
no, there abs- I'm going to tell you why not, there's no truth to it, because you have to click yes five times in order to get it to install.
I think you do. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I know some people download it, right? But apparently it's going to come in as a Windows upgrade.
Yes,
and then apparently it's going to go from a non-essential Windows.
It's an optional. It's an optional right now
to a recommended.
Correct.
Right? Yeah, so that's scary. So when it becomes recommended, you got to wonder if that's going to sneak through and just install at some point.
No, you're still going to have to click yes five times.
Yeah, just like you have to click print five times on Windows.
Exactly. I mean, it's not ever a simple process where, and that's why I was laughing. I heard on so many different shows where people going, yeah, it just installed on me. And I'm like going, no, it didn't just install on you. You installed it because you're the person that like a lot of our customers, they get these pop-ups and it's like, yes, 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 yes. And move on.
Yeah. Well, it's never installed on any of my computers, and I have a lot of them here, you know, so, but I have had quite a few customers say it's installed on its own, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm sure they've,
it's like the information that a customer gives you when you go on site. Right. And they give you part of the information, but not the whole thing. And you're like,
right.
You know, you're not getting the whole story. You can't really call them out on it because you don't want to make them feel bad, but it's like that's frustrating when he's it's like, if you do something, just tell me, because that way I can help you better.
Yeah. And would you recommend this on a production machine?
I would recommend this on a personal production machine. Yeah. I don't know that I would recommend it on a business machine. The reason being is not for the operating system itself. I think the operating system runs excellent on a machine that's 7 years old to a brand new machine. It runs night and day better than Windows 7 any day of the week. The problem is going to be his proprietary software.
I'm worried about the updates as well. Like, they're pushing through these updates and they haven't had a great track record, Microsoft, lately of these, some of these updates that have been pushed through recent months, you know, you can't shut them off if you're a small business,
right?
Like, they're going to come through, you know?
Well,
that's
so
what I'm worried about.
You can go to Pro.
Yeah. Will that shut it off?
Well, I think you can get a 60-day reprieve on Pro. And then if you go to the Enterprise volume version, I think it's in, I can't remember if it's an indefinite, there are ways to get around.
I'll
it's
have
just
to try it.
Not in the home version.
I installed Windows 10 on one of my own computers. Like I built a new computer today.
Okay.
And I installed Windows 10 on it for myself because I didn't want to run it on any of my main production machines. I had it on an older computer, but it's not the greatest. So I have it now on one of the computers I'm going to use on a regular basis. I'm going to play around with it and I'll have to learn more about it, you know, about all the little ins and outs and stuff. But I have one customer on a monthly backup plan. And he pays me a tidy sum every month to I check every night his backups to make sure his backups are done. Make sure he's backing up to the cloud. Make sure he's backing up locally. And,
right.
You know, and all this other stuff I do for him. Right. And we've been talking for months, I think for probably about 2 months that I don't recommend. This is his main, like he's got laptops and stuff, but this is his main computer that sometimes he'll log into, and it's a sales computer. He owns two businesses, and his accountants come and do all of his Sage accounting on it. And this is his main work production computer that everything happens on. And it's actually, we just upgraded it to a brand new Dell i7 with 256 gigabyte solid state hard drive. And it's super fast.
Okay.
8 gigs of RAM, beautiful machine. And, all of a sudden now, like I kept saying, I can't recommend, you know, I really don't recommend Windows 10. It's on your main production PC. It's still fairly new. I'm worried about the updates coming through and different things. Right. Didn't he go ahead and install it yesterday?
Of course.
I logged on last night and it was just finalizing the install. And amazingly enough, it seemed like everything, it went through great. My Instant House Call was still working. F-Secure antivirus was still working. We have it backing up to Backblaze as well. That's still working. A local backup was program was still working, and it seemed like his mail was still working. I mean, technically, Office should still work, right?
Right.
But it seemed to be seamless. But I'm really concerned about updates.
Well, the problem
or some other issues, but like you say, proprietary software.
With the updates is, especially on a home PC, number one, the updates should be forced, in my opinion, because people aren't doing them, and that's a big problem with the internet. They should be forced to do that. If you're going to play in the playground, you don't want to be necessarily filthy dirty when you're playing with other kids, and so. I think the thing is that a lot of times you're not going to catch these updates that are breaking things until they actually happen to your customers. And here's what's happening anyways. Microsoft is fixing them so quickly. They're right on top of it when they are breaking certain things. Now, that could be different for proprietary software that a company is using, their accounting software, maybe their software they use to run a machine or something like that. Mm-hmm. That could be an issue there. So for stuff like that, I was just telling the guys today that basically there's still machines like press type machines that are running Windows 3.1.
Oh yeah.
And it's an embedded system. There's a ton of Windows XP embedded systems out there and it worked just fine for what they do. So for that stuff, no. Now I'm running Windows 10 on this production machine both the production machines in front of me and it works flawlessly with all the software I use for editing podcasts and all my backups and everything that I do. I have not had an issue as of yet. Of course, I've never had an issue with Windows Vista or any other operating systems.
So. Yeah, my two main production desktop computers that I use on a regular basis, they're both pro versions, and one I left Windows 7.
Okay.
And one, as soon as Windows 8 became available, I upgraded. And then, of course, as soon as 8.1 became available, I upgraded to force myself to use it. And it's been rock solid, honestly. Yep. It's been no problem at all. It's been great. But I'm more worried about these pushing through the updates. That's what I'm really worried about. But
yeah. Here's the thing. So for... And I will tell you this, using managed service software to push stuff to my customers, the people I've been talking to in the industry as far as updates for Windows 7, Windows 8.1, a lot of times there will be these optional updates that come through. Mm-hmm. And what I just started doing is after talking to several people and they go, you know what? I've really never had a optional update hose a system at this point. And so I've actually been approving them for the policy for whoever's on my managed service for the residential clients. An optional update comes through for Windows 7 or Windows 8.1. I approve it for the policy. So anybody else that's on that system, it's going to be pushed through for them because And I personally, I run all of them on every machine I have here, and I have yet to have a problem.
Yeah, the only problem I've ever seen, and I'm not sure if it was an optional update or not, were and this was a couple of years ago, were the Realtek drivers for your network card. And Microsoft, for whatever reason, when you did that update, a lot of them, you lost your internet connectivity. I don't know if you've run into that. I used to run into that a lot. But
so that's a difference. So on the optional hardware drivers, I do not approve any of those.
Yeah, okay.
Just the optional security updates.
Right.
So yeah, the drivers I've had hose either the network card, sometimes the sound card, sometimes the video card have hosed many systems over the years. So I don't, if you want to upgrade those drivers, you need to go to the manufacturer's website and upgrade them from there. Don't do the ones in the Microsoft updates.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, that, I'm glad you clarified that because that's a good point.
But you are right. You do. I mean, your security updates, you need to get those up to date. They have to be up to date. Same with your Adobe, if you're and your Flash, if you're using it, or Flash and your Java, if you're using it, you need to keep that stuff up to date, or you're just asking for trouble.
Yeah. I'm not sure why these things are optional, even though they are security type updates. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're for certain issues, and maybe I've just never had any of those issues on my particular machines with the hardware I'm using. I don't know. But even on my customers' machines, I still have yet to have a problem with those. So
it might just be that you're being more careful. You're not going to some of the sites that some of these people are going to, and you're not also maybe clicking on some of these links in your emails other people are clicking on and stuff, right? You know, I think they get in a lot of trouble that way. And same with Facebook. Sometimes people are clicking on videos and different things, right? So
That looks interesting. Yeah, if it looks interesting, don't click on it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Good rule of thumb. Yeah. All right. The last thing on your list.
Do you know how to pronounce this? Is it Ketaran?
I always say Ketaran, but I could be wrong.
I have no idea.
Ketaran.
K-E-T-A-R-I-N.
Right.
And most people probably have heard about this, but it's just a little application which automatically updates your setup packages. So basically you can burn them and keep your USB stick up to date type of thing. So it'll monitor the content of web pages. So for example, if you're downloading stuff from FileHippo, you just put in the FTP information, and it'll keep it up to date for you. I mean, there's a lot of key programs that'll do that for you as well, but I just think this is kind of an awesome little program once you start to use it.
And I will tell you, if you don't want to do that stuff yourself, and we can put a link in the show notes, you can go to gegeek.com. If you pay him a little tribute fee, and it could be whatever you want. He doesn't ask for anything specifically. He will basically give you a download link for his GE Geek software, which is going to have the Ketaran file in it with all of the software and different tools that you use and probably have never used before, but we all use different stuff. And what it'll do is in one fell swoop, he's already programmed it all. You hit a button and it upgrades all whatever 300 and some odd files from different sites like FileHippo and different things like that. It's awesome to keep a USB stick up to date where you don't have to build it yourself. Again, I don't really have time to sit there and go through and figure out I want this, and this. But it's a flawless program. Sometimes you have to run it a couple times because you'll get a timeout error or something like that. But it's very rare. And for most of the stuff, it just works. And then you've got an up-to-date USB stick. You can do it right from the USB stick or your desktop computer or whatever you want to do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome.
All right. Well, Don, I think we have covered you've had a lot of great stories today, and I think we've covered the issue of these companies need to start spending some money on IT. So, data recovery or do some data prevention, I guess is data loss prevention. There we go. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've never went around, and I'm sure lots of people listening have done this or should do it. You know, you really could put some plans together. You could walk out, door to door businesses in these industrial parks, and you could probably pick up a lot of business in a week, I'm sure.
I think so.
I just haven't done it, but I'm sure there's a lot of businesses out there just not prepared.
Yeah, I would say that's probably the norm anymore.
But, yeah.
Well, I appreciate you coming out and sharing with us today. It's been a great show. And if people wanted to find out more about what you're up to and maybe contact you, ask you a question, how could they do that?
My website, mytechgeeks.ca, and my email address is don@mytechgeeks.ca.
Awesome. And again, appreciate you coming out on the show and sharing with us today.
No, thanks very much.
All right. You guys can find me on the Google Plus at Jeffrey Hallisch or Twitter at TechNutPC. And if you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, email me at podnutsdaily@podnuts.com. And I want to thank our sponsor, Instant House Call, for this episode of Podnuts Daily. Don't forget, if you guys need business paperwork to get you started in your computer repair business, then check out the link for the TechNable Computer Business Kit over at podnuts.com. You too can help support the Podnuts Network. Next time you're shopping at Amazon, go to podnuts.com/Amazon. Remember, that doesn't change your price at all. Puts a little change in the pockets of the podcast or Podnuts Network to bring you these great shows. And I want to thank everyone for listening and subscribing to the show. We'll see you next time on Podnuts Daily. My name is Jeff Hallisch. I am the host of Podnuts, where Chris Carruthers and myself take live calls on the air to answer questions or to get answers from other computer repair techs, every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can check it out over at podnuts.com/live. Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.